We begin tonight with breaking news as the island nation of Sri Lanka has descended into political turmoil. The country's president and prime minister will both resign, bowing to pressure after protests rocked the capital, Colombo. Tens of thousands of demonstrators broke through barricades and stormed the presidential residence, forcing him to evacuate. Crowds shouted and cheered as they roamed the halls, climbed statues, and defaced property. Separately, protesters broke into the prime minister's private residence and set it on fire. The crowds were a crescendo of Sri Lankans' discontent against leadership they deem responsible for the nation's worst economic crisis in a generation.
To get rid of the president and the prime minister and to have a new era for Sri Lanka. Also, I feel very, very sad that they didn't go earlier, because had they gone earlier, there wouldn't have been any destruction. And it's time that we got all our stolen money back to this country.
Sri Lanka's president will officially step down next week. In Japan, we're learning more about the assassination of former Prime Minister Shinzo Abe. Investigators say the man suspected of killing Abe believed Abe was linked to a religious cult that the suspect blamed for his own mother's financial ruin. Police would not name the group. Authorities continued to question the 41-year-old former member of Japan's Navy, who's admitted to shooting Abe with a homemade gun made from two metal pipes wrapped in black tape. At the site of the shooting today, mourners paid their respects, laying bouquets and shedding tears. And the hearse carrying Abe's body drove over 300 miles from the small town of Nara, where he died, to Abe's home in Tokyo. His funeral will be held early next week. Secretary of State Antony Blinken today chastised China for what he called its continuing support of Russia for its war in Ukraine. In Indonesia, at a G20 meeting, Blinken met China's foreign minister for more than 5 hours. Later, at a news conference, Blinken said he detailed Russia's aggression and refuted China's claim of neutrality.
I shared again with State Counselor that we are concerned about the PRC's alignment with Russia. Now, what you hear from Beijing is that it claims to be neutral. I would start with the proposition that it's pretty hard to be neutral when it comes to this aggression. There's a clear aggressor, there's a clear victim.
China's foreign minister sharply rebuked Blinken's comments and called on the Biden administration to swiftly remove Trump-era tariffs on Chinese products. President Biden has not yet announced whether he will adjust those tariffs. In the tennis world, the Wimbledon women's final today was a match of firsts. Elena Rybakina became the first tennis player representing Kazakhstan to win a Grand Slam singles title. She was born in Moscow but switched her nationality 4 years ago. Her opponent, Tunisian Own Shabour, made history by being the first Arab and first African women to appear in any Grand Slam final. We'll have more on this year's Wimbledon tournament later in the broadcast. And across the globe, millions of Muslims have begun the Feast of Sacrifice, Eid al-Adha. The observance lasts 4 days and is one of the biggest holidays in the Islamic calendar. It's typically celebrated with a ritual slaughter of livestock that's shared with friends and family. But rising food costs around the world have made it unaffordable for many Muslims this year. Still to come on PBS News Weekend, Desperate Journey. An Afghan refugee flees the Taliban, only to get caught up in geopolitics and a violent crackdown in Europe. And tennis history in the making at Wimbledon.
This is PBS News Weekend from WETA Studios in Washington, home of the PBS NewsHour, weeknights on PBS.